Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I posted the Daily Mail article of ISIS vermin taking young girls to rape them away from their mothers and fathers as the mothers and fathers and the girls are screaming. You can't even listen to the screams. People are not believing this is real. Someone smuggled this out from one of the ISIS strongholds. They're dragging these young girls away. One of them escaped and tells what happened to her. They then shot their fathers. We know where they are and we don't kill them. That fraud of a president of ours dashes off to go surfing in Hawaii and lets this go on, makes believe he's a champion of the downtrodden, and Hillary, that harridan, says nothing about this, making believe she's a champion of women. And that comes right to why Trump is popular, even amongst constituencies that you would not think would support him. Even amongst African Americans, there's a huge support for Trump, and I will tell you why. The African-American community, in my opinion, has been lied to so often and for so long that even if they disagree with the man's policies to a certain extent, they'd rather have a truth-teller than a liar. They know Hillary's a liar through and through. They know what they're going to get with her. They don't like her. So they like Trump. They like strength and they like truth. They don't care even if his policies disagree with theirs. At least they know he'll tell it like it is. That's number one. Why are Hispanics, so many Hispanics, in favor of Trump? I'll tell you why. You have to understand, you want to call it the Latino culture, you can't, even though that's not the proper word. We'll use it for the sake of identity. The Latino culture is a male-oriented culture. It's extremely macho. Do I have to say any more? Is there a more alpha macho candidate than Donald Trump? He appeals to the Latino male because he is macho. They like strength. They like leadership. They want a man running America, not a deceptive liar. They don't want a snake running America like Obama. They see what the snake is. They know the snake has done nothing for the Latino community except threaten the Latino community by flooding America with millions of undocumented aliens who threaten who the most? Who do these undocumented Hispanics threaten the most? The Hispanics who are already here, many of whom are on the bottom of the social ladder. And who is being hurt more by the illegal aliens from south of the border than anyone? The African American community. The social welfare funds that should be going to the poorest of the poor is being diverted to illegal aliens from third world nations. They know what's going on, and they know that Trump will actually be good for them financially as well as every other way. That's my analysis. You can take that to the bank. I'm Michael Savage. You can take that to the bank because it's the best analysis of why minorities like Trump and why he's going to win. So there are two groups that you would think would be natural allies of the Democrat socialist machine, but they're not. And they're moving, according to polls I've seen, over to the Trump side. And this is much to the consternation of the wonderful people, the truth tellers in the media, all the people that you've trusted for all these years to tell you exactly what's going on. All of the independent men, the Jake Tappers, the Wolf Blitzers, that type, you know, the type you've come to trust to tell you the truth. You see, it's giving them a lot of trouble because they know that they're supposed to get Hillary elected at all costs. And they're failing. No, they're failing. At the end of the day, their jobs are on the line. If they can't deliver the goods, what good are they? I mean, if you want to work for the Politburo and you want to be a member of Pravda after the Politburo candidate is selected and you haven't gotten that Politburo candidate elected, you're going to be cast into Siberia. The next thing you know, you might be teaching journalism at a school in Arkansas, an unaccredited school in Arkansas. Talk about the realities of what we're living through here. It makes no sense to me. It makes no sense to me. But, of course, it makes sense why Trump is rising. Trump is rising because he's the only one ever talked about the threat that Muslim immigration poses to our society. And yet Hillary Clinton, the demagogue liar, says anybody who says one word about the threat that Muslim immigration poses to our society is an Islamophobe, a thisophobe, a thatophobe. Why is the gay community silent on this? This is something that perplexes me. How are gays treated in fundamentalist Muslim societies? Why is the gay community dumb and silent on this? Why is the female of our species silent on this when women are treated worse than garbage? Why? How does Hillary get away with silence on this? I ask myself these questions, and for which there is no answer. None. Instead, she attacks Trump. Instead of attacking those who are raping girls in the Middle East, she attacks Trump. Somalia cancels Christmas because it threatens Islamic culture. You hear this? Any country where there is a Muslim majority, there is persecution of other religions. Now, right now, the Muslims are in a minority in America. But they're moving up. Do you know what happened in this country right after the Muslim massacre in San Bernardino? The Muslim group, I forget the name of this one of the front groups, a U.S. Muslim group announced a campaign to not root out and seek out jihadis in America, but to fight Islamophobia after the slaughter. They're very clever, haven't they? They learned the game in America. They learned it from Jesse Jackson. They learned it from Al Sharpton. They learned it from Black Lives Matter. They learned to keep getting in the face of America no matter what happens. Never admit that you're wrong. Never admit that you're part of the problem. Always attack, attack, attack. And that explains why Trump is going up, up, up. He's the only one on the political stage that's saying one word about the dangers of Islam. You know, I am doing a Teddy book, my dog Teddy. It's coming out in May. It'll be totally different than anything I've ever published. Mainly pictures of this little guy and me feeding him this and that, bicycling, all sorts of happy stuff. But I've written it so that I hope it becomes a classic, not just a little, you know, Hallmark dog book. I try to put some duende in it, some soul, some me, some humanity. And in it, I mention in passing that a neighbor says you can judge a man by how he treats dogs. And I conclude the opening to that book with a little statement about how Muslims treat dogs. And he said, you're kidding. I didn't know that. I said, you didn't know that Islam and dogs are not cooperative or, shall I say, compatible? No, he said, I didn't know that. I said, you know that Muslims hate dogs? He said, come on. So I put together for you a little list of things about how Muslims treat dogs. You forgot the case back in Minneapolis in 97 to start with. When a Somali cab driver kicked a blind person out with a seeing eye dog screaming, no dog, no dog, get out, get out. Threw the blind woman out of the cab. And to this, the Council on American Islamic Relations, which many consider to be the Muslim mafia, according to a book that was put out, CAIR replied by pointing out that the saliva of dogs invalidates the ritual purity needed for prayer. Close quote. There are many other cases. I have them in my hand. How about how Muslims treat women? You think that they like women? You think they treat women as equals? First of all, they put them in medieval tents. What man would put his wife in a tent that covers every part of her body who respects women? They treat them worse than they do a camel. Now, when I say to you there's a clash of civilizations and that war is coming, you could say I'm crazy, but if you open your eyes, you realize the war is here. And only a lunatic, a psychotic who hates the country, would bring in millions of men of military age from Syria into this country at a time like this. This is the same insanity that you would see if it was 1939 after Hitler had invaded surrounding nations, and then if a president got up and said, in order to be nice to the growing German threat, we're going to bring in more Germans and learn how to live with them, because we need to get to know the good Germans. And you say to them, wait a minute, if you're bringing in millions of Germans, how do you know which ones of them are members of the Nazi party? We don't care. We'll vet them. How can you vet them when they have fake passports? Well, don't tell us about that. We need them to come in to vote for a Democrat. This is what's going on. In other words, this entire administration is committing treason and sedition, in plain English. But we're not living in sane times, are we? We're living in insane times where the doxies of the left, the religious doxies of liberalism, are trumping, sorry to use the word, sanity and reality. Sanity and reality are being trumped by the stupidity of the left. We have evil at our doorsteps, and we have an administration that is either blind to this evil or is collaborating with this evil. But it does not matter which of the above statements is factually correct. All we as a people know is that no one is protecting us from this evil. We know that. We know that by how? We know it by San Bernardino. We know it by the fact that those subhumans who conducted that massacre were admitted into this country because DHS failed us. And Obama, instead of firing the head of the Department of Homeland Security, let that loser go out on the warpath against anyone who criticized him. He mumbled his way through the media over the next 3 days, and then they put him back where he belongs, in a back room somewhere. He is put there to do nothing. We have the bravest men in the world, the bravest and most superior fighting force in the world, being led by sissies. We have police being led by sissies in America who know what to do to control the cities. We have an FBI that could break doors in and yank them out by their filthy noses. Bravest men and women you could imagine being controlled by sissies. The country has been sissified, to use an overly used and underly used word. But that's not the real reason that these brave men are being controlled. It's not the sissification factor. It is, in my opinion, an infiltration factor. When you see a slaughter like we saw, a massacre in San Bernardino, and the next day Muslim hate groups posing as protectors of the Muslim people go out there and start attacking America, saying you're basically responsible for what happened owing to your policies, we got to report Islamophobia. They know the game very well. They learned it from the ACLU. They learned it from Al Sharpton, in my opinion. They learned it from Jesse Jackson. They learned how to bully everyone into submission. And so the FBI is afraid of them. CIA is afraid of them. Military is afraid of them. Police are afraid of them. Where does this end unless we stand up to these bullies? Does it end like the Yazidi girls? Oh, that can't happen here. Why, are you kidding? That can't happen here. Don't be crazy, Savage. That's lunacy. That's paranoia. That's right-wing paranoia. It can't happen here. Really, and San Bernardino couldn't happen here either. And the Boston Marathon bombing by two Muslims couldn't happen here either, right? And 9/11 couldn't happen here, right? And all the other hundreds and hundreds of Muslim attacks that were thwarted by our government, so they say, couldn't have happened here either, right? But they are happening here. Why? For the exact reasons I just said to you. Because the brave men and women who are in these agencies, they could stop the next one to probably a 99th percentile of let us say, up to the 99th percentile. All they got to do is preemptively arrest the vermin who they're tracking before they kill us. They can't. Why can't they? Ah, civil rights. Ah, yes. The sacred cow of civil rights. I forgot about that. Well, let me remind you something about civil rights. Civil rights laws were written for a civil society. Without a civil society, you cannot have civil rights laws. They were written for another time. They're not written for a time of Muslim violence and Islamic terrorism. Without a civil society, you can have no rights at all because you'll be dead. What good are civil rights laws if you're not alive? So what are you saying, Savage? Suspend civil rights laws? No, I'm not Abraham Lincoln. I'm not a hero of Obama who suspended habeas corpus. Not at all. I'm not saying what Lincoln would do. Lincoln, the great hero of Obama, suspended habeas corpus. He arrested journalists. You didn't know that, did you? He arrested journalists. Check it out. It's actually in my book, Government Zero, based on facts, not on rhetoric. Lincoln was a dictator, a fascist dictator during the Civil War. Why am I telling you all of this? You figure it out. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America. I just don't want to talk about this threat right now. The girls screaming, the Yazidis and the little girls. Anyone who watches that, they're getting incensed. They want to know why Obama's not bombing ISIS. They want to know why Hillary's not mentioning the rape of these little girls. They want to know why the National Organization for Women is not mentioning the greatest travesty against women in our lifetime, ongoing on an industrial level rape of young girls. They want to know why the UN, filled with those useless idiots, is saying virtually nothing. They want to know. They don't know the answer yet. 21 years I've been on the radio giving you the answer as to why liberalism, the mental disorder, will kill all of us. It's killing us right in front of our eyes. killing the culture for sure, right? Isn't that what's going on? Isn't that what you're screaming about? Isn't that why you feel lost? Don't you? Isn't that what's freaking you out, that the culture is being decimated? A homicide is being committed against American culture? Obama has committed homicide against our borders and against our culture? But the economy for the very rich has never been better. How is that possible? That's the, you know, that's the structural problem that we have. We keep hearing that the economy is bad for the people down below. But the people on the top have never done so well. I mean, Zuckerface is doing well. Gates is doing well. He's doing well enough to give away billions of dollars. Right? All of the big guys with billions of dollars have never done better. Well, triple Dutch, triple Irish taxation. You know, Apple's never done better. Google's never done better. Hey, if you got your company headquartered in Ireland and you can keep 70% of your profits overseas and not pay your 39% fair share or give Jerry Brown his 15%, what could be better? As long as you fund their campaigns, you can get away with virtually anything. That's called homicide, the homicide of reality, if you want to put it to you that way. So people are very upset because no one's representing them. No one's representing them. There's no politician other than Donald Trump who even comes near representing their fears and their concerns and their dreams, for that matter. And that's why he's soaring. And that's why Hillary is falling like a dead blimp. She's like, his, you know, the old song, Led Zeppelin. She is a Led Zeppelin. It's very agitating times, I got to tell you. It's not a time to have a great time right now. It's like nothing's really changed and everything's changed, right? I mean, the sky is blue, the clouds are white. Am I the only one who feels this? Is something wrong with me? Should I see a therapist? Should I get medicated for the first time in my life? I mean, aren't things just coming up roses? Isn't Obama doing great for America? Is there something wrong with me? Yesterday we talked about Tourette, remember? That was a good show. I just slipped into it because it was a topic that had come up on TV and I was interested in it. I knew nothing about it. I thought that was a fascinating show. It helped me in a certain way with my own issues. I swear to God, it's not like I have Tourette. I know that. But who doesn't have issues in their life that they've dealt with their whole life? And when you get older, you want to hear something, a little secret for those of you younger? The things that you think were not that important when you were younger that you buried, they're going to come back when you're older. They don't go away. They come back. Did you know that? People don't understand this. Unresolved problems that you think you moved past or buried, they're never buried. They come back up to the surface as you get older and you have time to think about it. So you kind of got to resolve them. You know, I don't think we're going to talk about these topics. I'm sick of it all. I'm sick of Baltimore. I'm sick of the white liberals who caused it. I'm sick of the thugs in the street who burnt it. You know, I feel like I'm getting a migraine from all of this. I'm in the talk business. I have to, like, incite you to talk. But I'm not going to just incite you. I don't want to incite you. Many of you are angry over what Obama's done by laying the groundwork for those riots over the last 6 years. We know what he did. We know what Holder did. We know how they deballed the police. We know what's going on. Now, in the midst of all this, now we have to start talking about redefining marriage. Everything in our lives has to be torn to shreds by the radical left. It's how a revolution functions. Don't you get that? What they want to do is redefine not just marriage, but society itself. You don't understand this is more than marriage. It has much more to do with redefining the entire society. It's the same type of people who want to disarm the police, who want to disarm marriage. Do you understand what I just said to you? Well, that's my opinion. So let's go back to gay weddings. That's all anyone wants to talk about. That's what you want to talk about, nothing else. It's a good topic. We'll revisit it. So let us begin with the actual voices involved, with Antonin Scalia. The man robbing toilet paper would not have known who he is. He would have think he was some Italian who ran Baltimore in the 50s. But no, Antonin Scalia is on the U.S. Supreme Court, and he's arguing with a woman named Bonato. It's Italian versus Italian. Antonin Scalia is the conservative. Ms. Bonato is the gay arguer, the arguer for the gay marriages. So Scalia asked Bonato the following. Let's hear clip one.
Do you agree that ministers will not have to conduct same-sex marriages?
If they do not want to, that is correct. I believe that is firm under the First Amendment.
She believes. Notice she's a snake like all lawyers. I believe it's part of the First Amendment. Well, listen, Ms. Bonato, if it's part of the First Amendment, then why are your cohorts harassing pizza shop owners and bakeries to make cakes for gays when they don't want to? Isn't that part of their First Amendment, Ms. Bonato? You're clean and nice in front of the Supreme Court now. You're wearing a nice press skirt, and you're a Miss Curtsy and Miss this, your First Amendment. You know you don't believe in the First Amendment. You believe in the Gay Amendment, which is do it our way or go to the highway. Don't tell us you believe in the First Amendment. Then Scalia goes on about clergy in clip two. Listen to this.
But ministers who do not believe in same-sex marriage will still be authorized to conduct marriages on behalf of the state. You can't do that once it is a constitutional prescription.
No answer to that. Right, of course. Once it's a constitutional prescription, then the ministers can't perform any marriage. Unless they perform gay marriages as well as straight marriages. I guess you can't say straight marriage anymore. That's sort of a slur. You have to use same-sex. I never heard of it. Like, both my parents deceased a long time ago. If I said to them, you know that you were an opposite-sex couple, they would have looked at me like I was crazy. Whoever heard of a redefinition of this in your lifetime? Your mother and father were an opposite-sex couple. You hear this? They had to redefine themselves for less than 1% of the population. Oh, yeah, yeah. Your grandmother, grandfather, going back a million years, they were opposite-sex couples. Let's say 5,000 years. So then Varelli, whoever he is, I guess he's another one arguing for the other side. I have to be fair to the subject. Let's hear clip three now.
The opportunity to marry is integral to human dignity. Excluding gay and lesbian couples from marriage demeans the dignity of these couples. It demeans their children, and it denies that both the couples and their children the stabilizing structure that marriage affords.
All of a sudden, marriage. I knew gay people. None of them ever wanted to be married. It's the furthest thing from their mind. The last thing the gay people I knew wanted was marriage. They entered that lifestyle to get away from the conventional life that their parents had because they couldn't stand it. It was stifling them. I know things were different then. I get it. It's different now. I get it. I understand that. It's a different time. Now suddenly marriage is the most important thing in the world to the gay community. Are you kidding me? Do you really think this is about marriage? We discussed it yesterday. If it's about property rights, visitation rights, that could be done very simply without redefining marriage for the entire universe. Domestic partnerships or by legal decree, period, end of story. It has nothing to do with marriage. It has to do with changing society at its core. The building block of any society is man and woman. I don't care if you're a Syrian. I don't care if you're a Libyan. I don't care if you're a lesbian. I don't care if you're a Staten Islander. The building block of any society is man and woman. Everybody knows that. Gays know that. They came from man and woman. So why do they have to change the structure of the world to reflect their own view of the world? Because they can. Because they control the media. That's why. Now we go on. I'm going to roll here. How many people hate me now? I'm not trying to be hated. I am trying to have a discussion here. Let's have one more, which is from Mr. Roberts, who was the man who gave us Obamacare, strangely. Nobody knows why he did that. He was the one who suddenly said it's a tax. It's not a tax. Therefore, it's Obamacare. Yes, you can have CastroCare in America. So here's Justice Roberts now in clip four.
Every definition that I looked up prior to about a dozen years ago defined marriage as a unity between a man and a woman as husband and wife. Obviously, if you succeed, that core definition will no longer be operable.
Then Alito asks, what will be the limits on same-sex marriages? Okay, clip five. It's a good one. Listen to this one.
Suppose we rule in your favor in this case, and then after that, a group consisting of two men and two women apply for a marriage license. Would there be any ground for denying them a license?
That's all. Polygamy is coming. Polygamy next. Marry a horse next. Want to marry a dog? Sure. Why not? Marry a dog. A nice, furry creature. Doesn't bother anybody. Isn't your dog entitled to marriage, too? Tell me why, if you change the name, the definition of the word marriage, you cannot marry an animal. Tell me why. Explain that to me. How? How will it be limited? Isn't that a constitutional right to marry your cat or your dog? Now, I'm not comparing gays to cats and dogs. Please don't lump the two together and make something out of what I'm not saying. Don't try to do it. It's too late in my career. It's not going to work. You and George Soros and the rats who evade taxes and attack conservatives, you know what? You lost. You didn't win. So the fact of the matter is, keep trying, but you're not going to get me. I'm too smart for you, number one, and I'm not what you say I am, number two. And the best defense, by the way, for an attack is the truth. So don't try to lump me in with the bigots, because I'm the last thing on earth The last thing on earth I am is a bigot. I am Michael Savage. I am a sexual libertarian. Meanwhile, the nation is in a state of emotional collapse. Everyone's against everyone else. So it's not bad enough the Islamo-fascists are hunting us. It's not bad enough that our intelligence agencies have been penetrated and are weakened and are not doing their job. It's not bad enough that we're almost at the verge of war with Russia because of Obama and Hillary Clinton. It's not bad enough that Israel could be nuked if John Kerry, the anti-American, is permitted to sign the so-called nuclear deal. No, now we have to focus on redefining the most fundamental building block of a society, marriage. So let's talk about it. Since that's what the Supreme Court is doing, that's what we the people are going to be doing. I don't think everything is what it appears to be, and I think there are other dimensions to reality. I always have known that my whole life. We all do. We seem to think that we're two-dimensional creatures, sometimes maybe three-dimensional creatures, but sometimes I think we're multidimensional creatures. And I believe that there's more to any picture that meets the eye, including why Islam is on the rise, why the West is falling, and why America, in the midst of all of this, is obsessed with a situation such as gay marriage. I believe that there's a spiritual element to this entire picture that we can touch on if you want. How about the Baltimore riots? What would the spiritual element of that be? Why is that happening again? Why is it suddenly 1968? Why do we have minority mayors who tell the police to not fight back against the rioters? And they only stopped the rioters, only stopped when the National Guard came out and had guns in their hands. Why are communists in New York City who have nothing to do, kids from the colleges who have nothing to do, usually kids from middle class houses, especially those radical girls, running around with knapsacks all over New York trying to burn things down, attacking police? Why? Why are they permitted to run rampant in the streets? Why? What's the spiritual meaning of all of this? Well, there's a lot of simple answer to it all, and then there's a complex answer to all, and then, of course, there's no answer to it. I'd rather talk about the no answer. We're supposed to believe we're living in progressive times. We're supposed to believe that we're living in times that are advanced. I would argue the opposite. My contemporary insights would tell me something else. And I try to tell you this whole argument of gay marriage, for one moment, just remove the word gay and marriage from what I'm about to say and go back to my analogy of Jacob's ladder, because I want to do the mystical thing for one minute. What is Jacob's ladder? Sulam Yaakov is a staircase to heaven that the biblical patriarch Jacob dreams about during his flight from his brother Esau. It is described in the book of Genesis. He dreamed. He lay his head on a rock, if you read Genesis, and he put the rock under his head, and he dreamed of a staircase to heaven. And he woke up, and there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Now, Christians believe Jesus is the staircase to heaven. Muslims believe in this concept of a staircase to heaven. Islam, in fact, in legitimate Islam, before the maniacs stole the religion, Jacob is revered in Islam as a prophet and patriarch. And legitimate Muslim scholars draw a parallel with Jacob's vision of the ladder in Muhammad's event of Miraj. So what am I trying to say to you is that for one minute, change your view of everything and understand we just take the metaphor of Jacob's ladder, a staircase to heaven. And the mystics would argue, for example, that if you change the order of the rungs, you can destroy everything. If you pervert or confuse the rungs on Jacob's ladder, all of our troubles can be seen for what they are. I want to shift, though, to something entirely different. We're living in interesting times where each man literally has to save himself. We have no authority figures to believe in. We have no government to believe in. That's why I wrote Government Zero, and it's not an infomercial. Government Zero. No borders, no language, no culture. The book is on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and I made a commitment which I should repeat right now. All of the royalties that I make on that book, and I'll repeat it again, write it down, any and all royalties I make on that book will be given to my Savage Scholarship Fund for deserving college students going forward, that will be one of the things I leave as my legacy after my radio career. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2600. It is the Savage Nation. There's a lot of stories that are rattling around inside my brain. Soros's coming tax bill, and Apple may have to pay Ireland 10 years of back taxes. Oh, yeah. You didn't know that, huh? Mr. George Soros, who put Barry Obama in office, has been deferring taxes for many years by using every scheme known to mankind while telling you to pay your fair share. Does it sound familiar to you? George, Warren Buffett, another one, another great American. He gets all sorts of deals from Obama, including shooting down the Keystone XL pipeline because his trains run the oil from the Alberta tar sands to our refinery. So what does he want? A pipe that could do it for 100 times cheaper. And then he tells you to pay more taxes. And then, of course, there's Apple, another wonderful company that everyone loves so much. Headline, Apple may have to pay Ireland 10 years of back taxes. Want to hear what they've been paying in taxes? Get ready for this, all you good liberals. Apple has paid as little as 2% on profits attributed to its subsidiaries in Ireland, well below the 35% top rate in the United States, and even well below Ireland's 12.5% rate. Don't you love that? Wait, it gets even better. It gets even better. Disney is firing IT workers like the plague and hiring people from India at one-half the price. Disney now. And the Department of Homeland Security says nothing. Why do you think all of these rats were screaming for immigration, including that one in the undershirt? The brat with the undershirt who got lucky from Harvard, whatever his name is. Faisalberg. Mark Faisalberg. Remember Mark Faisalberg was a big mouth for illegal immigration, making them all legal? Do you think he goes to dinner with illegal immigrants? Do you think he washes the feet of illegal aliens from Tijuana like Nancy Pelosi does? He wanted B-1B visas to lower his costs. He wanted immigrants simply to shaft American workers, Mark Faisalberg. You think because these guys are worth $100 billion that they're happy? They cut your heart out for another dollar in profit. Here, so you see riots in Baltimore. The morons, what are they rioting? They don't even know who Freddie Gray is. Rioting. And what'd they steal? Toilet paper! Did you see how many pictures of the lowlifes? You're not allowed to call them thugs. I'll call them subhumans. If you don't like the word thug, maybe that'll apply better. Because once you go below the level of humanity, you're not civil, you're a subhuman. They break into a store, the city's burning, what does he rob? A jar of mouthwash and toilet paper. My dog's looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm not making this up, Teddy! Human beings are insane. They burn a city to the ground to rob toilet paper out of CVS with a jug of mouthwash. And the store is burned to the ground. Then they'll complain that Whitey didn't rebuild the city fast enough for them. A minority city, they'll say that the whites caused them to burn the city to the ground, and they want more money to rebuild it so they can burn it to the ground again. It's a crazy world out there. Now couple the guy robbing toilet paper after the Baltimore riots. Toilet paper, I swear to you. It was 8 rolls of paper. You could see it was worth burning a building to the ground for that. It wasn't just one roll of toilet paper that the wonderful citizen of Baltimore stole our CVS's and burnt. It was 8 to 12. It was a 12-pack, along with mouthwash. On one side, you have the idiot robbing toilet paper after burning a city down. Doesn't work for a living. Lives on welfare. Probably deals drugs on the side. And here's another story. Sales of $100 million homes rise to record worldwide. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. I've never seen anything like the disparity. So you say, what's the answer to take the rich and eat the rich and give the money to the guy who robs toilet paper? No, the answer is to make the guy who robs toilet paper clean the gutter. That's the answer. Put him to work in public service jobs, cleaning their city, rebuilding their city. That's what you do. Here's a headline. Freddie Gray broke neck and van. No evidence injured during arrest. I don't know what to believe. The other prisoner said he was whacking himself around in the van trying to collect some money. Freddie Gray broke neck and van. No evidence injured during arrest. How do I know what the truth is? What do I know, Freddie Gray? Now, Freddie Gray from Freddie Pink.
Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We're also releasing new policies on the military-style equipment that the federal government has in the past provided to state and local law enforcement agencies. And we've seen how militarized gear can sometimes give people the feeling like it was an occupying force as opposed to a force that's part of the community that's protecting them and serving them. Can alienate and intimidate local residents and send the wrong message. So we're going to prohibit some equipment made for the battlefield. It is not appropriate for local police departments.
For those who do not know the history, are condemned to repeat it, so I'm giving you a little historical music, the Horst Wessel song of the Nazi Party, as a little background music to the soft-spoken president of the United States of America circa 2015. Of course he's not a Nazi. Are you crazy? Why, there are no concentration camps. Not at all. There are no brown shirts in the streets. Not at all. It's done for, let us say, attracting your attention. Then maybe you'll break through the fog of confusion, doubt, and illusion. The illusion created by the grand illusionist Barack Obama. Barack Obama is the greatest illusionist in the history of the presidency. Make no mistake about it, he's a grand illusionist. And instead of screaming in German, he talks softly. And he threatens everyone in the United States of America on a daily basis with his reign of terror, while not threatening ISIS. ISIS is taking over one city after another, and he and his sorority are telling us that they don't stay awake worrying about it at night. It's nothing. I want to play a soundbite of the worst, almost a monster. Eric Holder is probably one of the most evil men in American history. And I want you to listen to what this demonic man said before he retired, a while ago. Listen to this.
One cannot truly understand America without understanding the historical experience of black people in this nation. Simply put, to get to the heart of this country, one must examine its racial soul. Though this nation has proudly thought of itself as an ethnic melting pot, in things racial, we have always been, and we, I believe, continue to be, in too many ways, essentially a nation of cowards.
Okay, so we're a nation of cowards because he wants a conversation on race. Well, let's have a conversation on race on the Savage Nation. We've been having a conversation on race ever since Obama triggered Ferguson. We've been having a conversation on race ever since Holder and Obama triggered the burning of Baltimore. We've been having a conversation on race ever since we've seen what this administration is doing and intends to do. So I say let's continue our cowardly discussion of race on the program. And there's no better way to continue this conversation of race, this cowardly conversation of race, than to focus on what Obama just did last night. Remember Loretta Lynch? How the Republicans put up a fake fight and said that they're going to oppose her? Well, she's now in there, and I warned you, she was worse than a Holder. Didn't I tell you she was going to be worse than Holder because she's a woman? She's got a double going for her. She's got a double protexia around her. So now she announces immediately, not that she's going to look into disarming the gangs in the cities, not that she's going to look into the communist front groups that were responsible for all the violence and the terrorism in our streets, but she's going to grant $163 million to these thuggish groups. The ACLU is a criminal organization, as you know, with law degrees. They're the cowardly side of the revolution. The ACLU are the cowards who hide behind law degrees. They work with the actual street thugs who do the damage. You understand how this works? So she's going to put in new guidelines in cities to teach police how to behave toward the gangs. Now that leads us to the Gestapo is born. Upon becoming Chancellor of Germany, Adolf Hitler had appointed Hermann Göring as Minister of the Interior for the state of Prussia. As Minister of the Interior, Göring thereby had control of the police. That's the Attorney General. She's fundamentally the Minister of the Interior. The Attorney General is our Minister of the Interior. So in Germany, Göring had control of the police. She doesn't have control of our local police because we have a constitution, we have state governments, which are supposed to function separately from the federal government to avoid a dictatorship. But we have a man who was a madman in the White House, surrounded by demagogues who want to take over every aspect of our lives. The first thing Göring did was to prohibit regular, uniformed police from interfering with Nazi brown shirts out in the streets. So I said, well, what does that have to do with America? There are no Nazi brown shirts. Yes, there are. They're the gangs. They're the thugs who just burnt Baltimore. They are the brown shirts. They burnt Baltimore. First they tried Ferguson and they got away with it. Then they had the president covering for them, putting out the false narrative of the gentle giant, who was actually a criminal, trying to kill a cop. So he covered for them, and these thugs are now controlling Ferguson and Baltimore. And so let's go back again to history. Göring, first thing he did was prohibit regular uniformed police from interfering with Nazi brown shirts out in the streets. This meant that innocent German citizens had no one to turn to as they were being beaten up by rowdy young stormtroopers. Well, do we have stormtroopers? No, we don't have rowdy young stormtroopers. We have rowdy young thugs, inner city thugs. And what did these young stormtroopers do? These young Nazi toughs took full advantage of police leniency to loot shops at will and terrorize Jews or anyone else unfortunate enough to be caught in the wrong place at the wrong time. Well, did they loot in Ferguson? You betcha. Did they loot in Baltimore? You betcha. Did they terrorize people? You betcha. So what's the parallel, boys and girls? The Gestapo was born in Germany. Obama is giving birth to a Gestapo in America. His gangs are called victims. The police are called thugs. He's reversed everything. Now, that's just one topic. Now, we have another story that I have to talk about. I've still not seen any photographs or video, even B-roll, of the so-called killing of Abu Sayyaf, the key ISIS figure, killed in a daring U.S. raid by Delta Forces, where all of our troops returned safely. They even captured his wife, and they captured heavy intelligence. I'd like to believe it's true, but given that Obama's a liar, and given that this report about this special operations raid in eastern Syria overnight came after they took another city, I think it's just as likely to be Capricorn 1 and propaganda. I hope I'm wrong. But what good did it do? They took him. Let's say they did take him. The next day, the next city fell. And here's another question about the so-called war being run by the Gulf of Moron in the White House, Satan. Are you ready for this one? The victory parade after they took Ramadi. I'm talking about ISIS. A column a half a mile long of their pickup trucks with machine guns. One A-10 could have wrecked the entire column, destroyed them. One sortie by one airplane could have wiped out the entire column. Why the hell didn't Obama launch that A-10? Because they're on our side. I am telling you right now that this is the biggest scam in your life. There's no explanation for this. And further proof to my suspicion that ISIS is actually being funded by the United States government is this. Do you remember the Pentagon asked the media to scrap old footage of ISIS columns? Did you hear this? Do you remember what they said? Pentagon spokesmouth Colonel Stephen Warren said, please stop using stock footage that makes the terror army seem more mobile and more formidable than they say it actually is. He said they don't travel like that anymore. And he said, quote, one Toyota speeding down the road by itself at night with his headlights off would be a more accurate image. Really, Mr. Spokesman Colonel Stephen Warren, yesterday I saw a column of Toyotas a half a mile long, and you and your brave air boys did nothing. They were told to stand down the same way they were told to stand down at Benghazi by the... I don't know. I can't say it. I really would like to say what I don't understand how the Republicans let them get away with it. The answer is because they're the same. Don't you understand there is no Republican Party? There's no Democrat Party. Don't you understand yet that it's a single block of a ruling class and we're the moron serfs? And it's so bad that if my suspicion is correct, that ISIS is an arm of the United States government, in other words, a proxy army, that we, the citizens of this country, by permitting the charlatan in the White House to get away with this charade of a war against ISIS, we are responsible for the kidnappings. We're responsible for the rapes of children. We're responsible for the slavery of non-Muslims. We are the devil themselves for letting this character get away with it without demanding more. Now, of course, you say, what can I do? I understand that. You saw that George Staphylococcus is nothing but a paid whore. We understood that from day one. Did he ever look like anything but a paid whore? I mean, you're shocked that he's a paid whore and gave money to the Clinton Foundation? You're shocked that George Stephanopoulos looks like a male escort? He's been a male escort of the Democrat Party from the day he started. He never was a journalist. Never. He's always been a pretty boy escort for the Democrat Party. We have now in America what I've said for 10 years. We have reporters who suddenly call themselves journalists who are nothing more than fifth columnists disguised as members of the Fourth Estate. We have no Fourth Estate. I am the Fourth Estate. Drudge is the Fourth Estate. About 10 websites of the Fourth Estate. That's it. There is no Fourth Estate. Do you know what the Fourth Estate is? Okay, it's the Fourth Estate. We're supposed to stick our fingers into the side of the liars in government. We're supposed to be those who keep them in line. We're supposed to be the burr in the saddle of ABC, CBS, NBC, and the NYT. But when we become the same as them and we're not the burr in the saddle, what are we? Prostitutes. And so therefore, I say to you, going back, circling back to my first story, on the headline, we were told that the Great Delta Force killed a key ISIS figure, Abu Sayyaf, and then they captured his wife and great intelligence, and all the Delta Forces came home without a scratch on their shiny badges. Well, I hope it's true, but we haven't seen one picture yet. Now, if it is true and we haven't seen one picture yet, the only reason is because Harvey Weinstein is still in Cannes. He's probably on a yacht enjoying an after party from the film festival, and he hasn't gotten back to make the movie yet to show it to show us Capricorn 2, produced by Obama Inc., the new worldwide dictatorship that's emerging. You got the race hater in the White House every day now giving a speech, turning black against white against black against Asian against black, every day in every way the same rotten, stinking people running the world. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. Swiss America. Here we have ISIS taking over one major city after another. And this clown is talking about climate change posing a threat to national security. Only in America could it get away with it because we no longer have a Fourth Estate. We have a fifth column with a single party of left-wing demagogues running everything from top to bottom. Hour number one I spent explaining to you in some detail what went on in Germany in the 1930s on the birth of the Gestapo under Adolf Hitler, how it was done step by step, stage by stage. And I compared it to what he's doing to our police in this country, step by step, day by day, city by city. I'm not going to repeat myself. I suppose it'll be webcast, however they do this, podcast, on various and sundry websites. I suggest you listen to it and share it with people. You're very lucky that you have me on the radio. I rarely blow my own horn. People think I'm very egotistical and I do too much of it, but you actually don't know. I don't do much of it at all. The thing is that were it not for the quirks of the socialist government that you're living in, you wouldn't even be hearing me. I would have been a college professor of ethnobotany and never heard from, except in scholarly circles. But because they cauterized me through the fascism of liberalism and drove me away from the universities, I come before you fully developed and fully educated in so many areas. And as a result, I see the truth and I don't wait. Now, it has been written that God sees the truth but waits. Thomas Mann wrote that in one of his short stories. I was very impressed with it. And it was about the nihilism of Germany after World War One, before the Nazis arose, during the liberal Weimar Republic. The country was out of control. Liberalism had destroyed the social order. Young gangs were roving the streets of Germany doing what they're doing today in America. And it was fascism that came along because the people were demanding law and order. And now we have the grand illusionist that we're dealing with. And you know what's hard for me to believe? Is that every day gets worse. It's not as though, see, this is a pathology here we're dealing with. We're actually dealing with a very ill man. He is so demonically ill that he doesn't even realize what, does he realize what he's doing? I ask myself every day. How can a man get up every day and while looking himself in the mirror, you get up, wash your face, go to the bathroom, you look at yourself in the mirror, you comb your hair, brush your teeth, whatever. Does he say to himself, what can I do to destroy white America today? How can I destroy the power structure every day? How can I weaken this country even further? Is that what he's doing? Because there's no other explanation for his activities. It's as though a man wakes up every day and says, how can I weaken the European-American dominance of this country? How can I make this country less racist, which is a code word for weakening white America? I'm sorry, you want a conversation on race? Didn't Eric Holder say we're cowards? Didn't Eric Holder say that we're too cowardly to have a discussion on race? Well, let's have a discussion on race. He wants us to talk about it. I am talking about it. I am so sick and tired of hearing how evil white men are. I am so sick and tired of hearing how oppressed the black people are. I am so sick and tired of hearing how great every Hispanic is that I want to have a conversation on race. So that's what we're doing. We're having a conversation on race. Since Eric Holder said that we're all cowards on it. White men are evil, Hispanics are all Einsteins, and black men are all oppressed. That's the narrative every day. And your poor daughter goes to college. This poor child you gave birth to has to go and listen to these communist cockamamie lunatics who tell her she has white privilege. She could have multiple sclerosis and come from a poor home. They'll tell her if she's European-American she has white privilege. That's what your daughter has to put up with, this massive Soviet-style propaganda under this grand illusionist. I want to shift, though, to something entirely different. We have no authority figures to believe in. We have no government to believe in. That's why I wrote Government Zero, and it's not an infomercial. Government Zero. No borders, no language, no culture. The book is on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and I made a commitment which I should repeat right now. All of the royalties that I make on that book, and I'll repeat it again, write it down. Any and all royalties I make on that book will be given to my Savage Scholarship Fund for deserving college students going forward. That will be one of the things I leave as my legacy after my radio career.
Be the youngest candidate in this race, but I have one big advantage. I've been coloring my hair for years.
Yeehaw!
You're not going to see me turn white in the White House.
So she is overtly either clinically psychotic, and the reason I say that is that she's trying to sound like she's from the South when she isn't, a spoiled Northerner. With the best of advantages, like Obama, who again tries to get down with the gutter people, let's say in Ferguson, to make believe he's one of them. It's typical of lying politicians. But this one, I say, is psychotic because she used this voice before and had been ridiculed for it for years. And here she is falling apart in the polls because everyone knows what a thief and a liar she is. At least they think she is. That's the common perception, is that she's a thief and a liar. With a Clinton library slush fund. I mean, if you did what they did, you'd be in prison. The IRS would hit you harder than any heavyweight boxer has ever hit an opponent for what they are doing and getting away with, because they own the government. There's a government of the powerful, by the powerful, and for the powerful. Make no mistake about it. But nevertheless, put that aside. She goes to the Main Street Bakery in the South, and she uses a fake accent that any Southerner would laugh at. So Todd Starnes writes, I was surprised Miss Hillary didn't show up at her campaign rally in bare feet, waving a cast iron skillet and singing Dixie. It's very funny stuff. My point is she's using propaganda or attempting to use propaganda to sell herself. Next she'll appear at an old age home in Boca Raton where there are still old Jews left who may be over 80 who still speak with a rising in inflection at the end of their sentences. And she'll make believe she's from Brooklyn. You think I don't like a Knesh? You think I'm not for Israel? Obama does the same thing. The only people who don't do it are the square conservatives. Either they can't do it, they don't have the art to do it, they're too embarrassed to do it, but as a result, people think that they're squares. They can be wonderful people. And I'm trying to say to you that only by maligning the enemy and the opposite of what I'm saying, or to complete what I'm saying, on the other side of the moon, maligning the enemy will defeat the enemy. So in this case, I'm maligning Hillary Clinton for being a phony. But she's not our biggest problem. Our biggest problem is ISIS. And I'm going back to World War II, when a powerful propaganda machine helped the United States win the war in the Pacific. Frank Capra, great film director. He had Mr. Smith Goes to Washington in 1939. And what did he do just weeks after Pearl Harbor? Frank Capra, the famous director, quit Hollywood and volunteered for service in the United States Army. With his nation at war, he was willing to do his bit in taking the fight to the Axis powers. Where's Harvey Weinstein when we need him? He's a Jew, after all. I know you just winced and sucked air into your filling. Harvey Weinstein's Jewish. ISIS would like to cut Harvey Weinstein's head off and throw him down a well. Katzenberg is Jewish. Geffen is Jewish. They are the Caesars of Hollywood. And the best protection I have against those who will accuse me of anti-Semitism is the fact that it's true what I just said. They own Hollywood. They run Hollywood. And yet none of them, as I can tell, has ever produced a movie, which shows us the danger we are in from the Arabs in ISIS, who hate Jews in particular, and Christians in general, and Muslims who don't conform to their ninth century view of the world. Where is the Frank Capra of our time? So Frank Capra leaves the military, volunteers for service in the U.S. Army. He didn't go to the front lines to throw grenades at Nazis or stick bayonets into the guts of Japanese soldiers. He spent the entire war shooting his target with film. And he fashioned moving images into very powerful messages. And what his weapon was not a Thompson submachine gun, but a bulky movie camera. And over the war years, Frank Capra and his team produced 7 documentary-style movies, the very famous Why We Fight series, to explain why the U.S. found itself involved in the greatest war of all time. We are involved in the second greatest war of our time. And we are neutralized. We are neutered. We have been defeated by the lesbians. I'll say it like it is. It's like I don't care anymore. It's like I've come out of an illness. All gloves are off. I can't even mask what I'm saying. The radical lesbians destroyed America. They neutralized the Christian male. They made him ashamed of his own heritage and his own race. They have made us incapable of defending ourselves, let alone defeating the enemy. That's a full sentence. It started with the vile mouth of Bella Abzug. And here we are today where people are afraid to say the truth about ISIS, who both enslave young girls, rape young girls, kidnap women, turn them into slaves. Everybody knows this. When have you last seen a movie showing the enemy for what they are? When have you seen a Harvey Weinstein flick starring, let us say, Sean Penn as a valiant officer who goes to the Middle East and sees the rapes, the murders, and the kidnapping? Never. And you'll never see it. Because we don't have a Frank Capra. We have the opposite right now. We have propagandists in Hollywood who, instead of using their genius, and never underestimate their genius, instead of using their genius to help us form a war against the enemy, shape the minds of our young and our soldiers to get ready for the fight that we're fighting right now, instead of doing this, the Weinsteins and the Geffens and the Katzenbergs and the Spielbergs of our time use all their efforts to debase the white Christian heterosexual male in subtle ways, of course. They don't do it as overtly as they did 5 or 6 years ago, but it's there in my estimation. I can show you 5 different movies where the enemy is the white heterosexual Christian male. And by the way, in that legion of Hollywood titans I mentioned, I would say the least offensive is Spielberg. At least he has to his credit the great movie Saving Private Ryan, which was ultimately an anti-war movie, by the way. Make no mistake about it. It wasn't the Why We Fight movie. Brilliant, wonderful, excellent. But it wasn't Why We Fight. It was more like Why Should We Fight? If you actually studied it, as I have. That's my job, is to look beyond the beyond. And so, as again, I want to say, maligning the enemy is something we don't do. We've been neutralized by very, very powerful forces in this country. And so you never see a movie showing an Arab as the enemy. Never. That's even though Jordan tells their own people how dangerous ISIS is, and they're a Muslim country. We are so, I don't know what word to use. I know what word to use. I can't. It's a family show. We've been so deballed that the people in this country don't even know what's going on over there. Then there were artists and writers who took it upon themselves to poke, provoke, prod, and otherwise persuade the average civilian at home how evil the Germans and Japanese were in World War II. And these propagandists produce messages in newsreels, billboards, print ads, on the radio. Everywhere you turned, imaginable and otherwise, there was a propaganda film or a propaganda poster during the years of World War II. Where is the propaganda against the worst scourge the planet has faced since old Adolf and his minions marched to the horse vessel song? The conservative intellectuals, where are they? There are almost none. The sad truth is that some of the most brilliant minds of our time are falsely political progressives. Don't confuse yourself and assume that they're progressives because they're stupid or that with the glib tongue they're all low-information voters. Many of these people would rather be nice and kind than right. They may even know that their politics are wrong, but they'd rather err on the side of kindness. Which leads me to the next point. Hatred is not a philosophy. And I'm asking you again, who are the conservative creators, the conservative intellectuals other than me? Yes, I'll put myself in the top echelon. I am so sick and tired of pretending that we're all the same. We're not all the same. It takes more than hatred to make a movement. It takes more than everyday false righteous indignation to make a point. Give me a break from all these multi-millionaire talk show hosts who don't give 10 cents to charity, screaming about the little guy who's hurting, or falsely complaining about the economy that's dying as they build beachfront mansions built on the swamp of hate and deceit. And I'll reiterate that I've given money away for years to deserving Marines who were facing court-martials they didn't deserve. I donated $20,000 for a van to Brent Gromit and Matt so they'd have a car to drive. And $100,000 in scholarships to deserving college students, $20,000 scholarships. And so we need propaganda. We don't need aggregators. Don't confuse aggregators of news stories with conservative creators. Don't confuse aggregators of news stories with talkers who have an intellect. Please don't make the confusion. There are some good nonfiction books out there that are on the conservative side. I've written many of them. Well, they're okay. How many conservatives have written fiction, such as I have just done with the masterpiece Countdown to Mecca, in order to broaden the appeal of my viewpoint? Can you name one conservative filmmaker? Can you name one conservative poet? Can you name one conservative musician? Can you name one conservative painter? Who? It takes more than hatred to make a movement. It takes more than screaming every day about how bad everything is in order to make a movement, which is why so many people and some of the most brilliant minds of our time are falsely political progressives. They'd rather be nice than right. That opens the show. The phone number is 855-407-2822. As we go on, I'm going to talk about maligning the enemy and how we must use the power of propaganda to build a prejudice against the Islamofascists in order to beat them at their own game. Propaganda was used in World War II to smear the Japanese and to smear the Germans. It invigorated our troops. Was it pretty? No, it was pretty ugly. Was it stereotypical? Yes, it was. Did it help the troops feel that they can defeat the enemy? Yes, it did. But right now, our troops have nothing to go on other than a hatred for themselves. If they're white, they're being indoctrinated by goons in the military who tell them they have white privilege. If they're straight and Christian, they're being indoctrinated by vermin in the military who are telling them that straight and Christian is evil. So everything is upside down. The left is everywhere with their propaganda, and we on the conservative side are nowhere with effective propaganda. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. Swiss America.
British professor Hubert Lamb says that a new ice age is creeping over the Northern Hemisphere.
Even then, it won't be as bad as the last ice age 60,000 years ago. Then New York, Cincinnati, St. Louis were under 5,000 feet of ice. Presumably, no traffic moved and school was let out for the day. And that's the way it is. Monday, September 11th, 1972.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I'm talking about propaganda today, and back in the 70s, the propaganda was the coming ice age. The propaganda now is the coming hot age. Both are lies. Both are frauds. Both were built on houses of fraudulent science. In the world of politics, the world is not much different. Both sides use lies. However, the progressives are winning because they use lies more effectively. They're better artists, better writers, better creators, and frankly, they own the studios. Katzenberg, Geffen, how many of them are actively involved in making movies anymore? They're too big to make movies, but they run the show. Nothing happens, in my estimation, unless the Caesars of Hollywood give a thumbs up. It's a thumbs up operation all the way down the line. And so you never see a movie where an Arab is a villain. You never see a movie where you see what ISIS is doing to Christians burning churches. When have you last seen a movie showing a church burning produced by Harvey Weinstein? Never. I haven't seen Weinstein produce a movie showing a church on fire with Christians being killed. When have you last seen a Katzenberg production, if he's still producing movies, where you see young Yazidi girls raped 8 years of age, raped by Muslims? You haven't seen such a movie. Why not? I don't know why not. These are brilliant men. They're geniuses. Don't they run the world? Aren't they invited into the White House on a regular basis? Don't they rub shoulders with such esteemed American citizens, such as Al Sharpton? And so we're talking today about propaganda. And why we need propaganda to win not only against our socialist enemy, but against the ISIS enemy, which is our collective enemy. And I am clear in saying that we have no real group of conservative intellectuals that I know of. And that some of the most brilliant minds of our time are falsely political progressives. Some of them know exactly what they're doing. And they know that they're living a lie, but they don't care. They don't care because they won't work in Hollywood unless they work the party line. They don't care in some cases because they'd rather be invited out to social gatherings than live alone and be in isolation. And then some of them would rather be nice than right. So where are the conservative intellectuals? I don't mean aggregators of news stories. I don't mean people who put together nonfiction books. I've done that. Nothing wrong with it. It's a very hard job to do it right and make people have something they can really read. How many conservatives have written a novel, as I have, in Countdown to Mecca, the third in the trilogy? You can count them on one hand, if that many. How many films have been made which have a conservative orientation? Where is there a conservative poet who has been invited to a university to read her poetry? Nowhere. Where is there a musician playing a patriotic theme? Nowhere. Where is there an artist painting patriotic paintings? Nowhere. You see, it takes more than hatred to make a movement. It takes more than false, righteous indignation to have an audience that follows you devoutly. The fact of the matter is, we can build a movement on the swamp of hatred and deceit. And so, I come before you today in the show to talk about the fact that we have to malign the enemy to defeat the enemy. Just as was done by this nation in World War II, they were maligning the enemy on a daily basis. They maligned the Japanese, they maligned the Germans, they used naked propaganda, they made them into villains. Now every German couldn't have been a villain. Every Japanese soldier couldn't have been a villain. Many of them were, by the way. If you looked at the behavior of the Japanese soldier, many of them were villains. And if you don't believe me, then research the rape of Nanking and you'll see what the average soldier in Japan was capable of. Before we get off on the high horse of we interned them here in America. That's all I got to hear about. I'm sorry about the internment. I didn't do it. FDR did it. The role model for Obama. Maybe he's planning on an internment here of his enemy.
Inside Broadcasting.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I posted the Daily Mail article of ISIS vermin taking young girls to rape them away from their mothers and fathers as the mothers and fathers and the girls are screaming. You can't even listen to the screams. People are not believing this is real. Someone smuggled this out from one of the ISIS strongholds. They're dragging these young girls away. One of them escaped and tells what happened to her. They then shot their fathers. We know where they are and we don't kill them. That fraud of a president of ours dashes off to go surfing in Hawaii and lets this go on, makes believe he's a champion of the downtrodden, and Hillary, that harridan, says nothing about this, making believe she's a champion of women. And that comes right to why Trump is popular, even amongst constituencies that you would not think would support him. Even amongst African Americans, there's a huge support for Trump, and I will tell you why. The African-American community, in my opinion, has been lied to so often and for so long that even if they disagree with the man's policies to a certain extent, they'd rather have a truth teller than a liar. They know Hillary's a liar through and through. They know what they're going to get with her. They don't like her. So they like Trump. They like strength and they like truth. They don't care even if his policies disagree with theirs. At least they know he'll tell it like it is. That's number one. Why are Hispanics, so many Hispanics, in favor of Trump? I'll tell you why. You have to understand, you want to call it the Latino culture, you can't even though that's not the proper word. We'll use it for the sake of identity. The Latino culture is a male-oriented culture. It's extremely macho. Do I have to say any more? Is there a more alpha macho candidate than Donald Trump? He appeals to the Latino male because he is macho. They like strength. They like leadership. They want a man running America, not a deceptive liar. They don't want a snake running America like Obama. They see what the snake is. They know the snake has done nothing for the Latino community except threaten the Latino community by flooding America with millions of undocumented aliens who threaten who the most? Who do these undocumented Hispanics threaten the most? The Hispanics who are already here, many of whom are on the bottom of the social ladder. And who is being hurt more by the illegal aliens from south of the border than anyone? The African-American community. The social welfare funds that should be going to the poorest of the poor is being diverted to illegal aliens from third world nations. They know what's going on, and they know that Trump will actually be good for them financially as well as every other way. That's my analysis. You can take that to the bank. I'm Michael Savage. You can take that to the bank because it's the best analysis of why minorities like Trump and why he's going to win. So there are two groups that you would think would be natural allies of the Democrat socialist machine, but they're not. And they're moving, according to polls I've seen, over to the Trump side. And this is much to the consternation of the wonderful people, the truth tellers in the media, all the people that you've trusted for all these years to tell you exactly what's going on. All of the independent men, the Jake Tappers, the Wolf Blitzers, that type, you know, the type you've come to trust to tell you the truth. You see, it's giving them a lot of trouble because they know that they're supposed to get Hillary elected at all costs. And they're failing. Oh, they're failing at the end of the day. Their jobs are on the line. If they can't deliver the goods, what good are they? I mean, if you want to work for the Politburo and you want to be a member of Pravda after the Politburo candidate is selected and you haven't gotten that Politburo candidate elected, you're going to be cast into Siberia. The next thing you know, you might be teaching journalism at a school in Arkansas, an unaccredited school in Arkansas. Talk about the realities of what we're living through here. It makes no sense to me. It makes no sense to me. But, of course, it makes sense why Trump is rising. Trump is rising because he's the only one ever talked about the threat that Muslim immigration poses to our society. And yet Hillary Clinton, the demagogue liar, says anybody who says one word about the threat that Muslim immigration poses to our society is an Islamophobe, a thisophobe, a thatophobe. Why is the gay community silent on this? This is something that perplexes me. How are gays treated in fundamentalist Muslim societies? Why is the gay community dumb and silent on this? Why is the female of our species silent on this when women are treated worse than garbage? Why? How does Hillary get away with silence on this? I ask myself these questions, and for which there is no answer. None. Instead, she attacks Trump. Instead of attacking those who are raping girls in the Middle East, she attacks Trump. Somalia cancels Christmas because it threatens Islamic culture. You hear this? Any country where there is a Muslim majority, there is persecution of other religions. Now, right now, the Muslims are in a minority in America. But they're moving up. Do you know what happened in this country right after the Muslim massacre in San Bernardino? The Muslim group, I forget the name of this one, one of the front groups, a U.S. Muslim group announced a campaign to not root out and seek out jihadis in America, but to fight Islamophobia after the slaughter. They're very clever, haven't they? They learned the game in America. They learned it from Jesse Jackson. They learned it from Al Sharpton. They learned it from Black Lives Matter. They learned to keep getting in the face of America no matter what happens. Never admit that you're wrong. Never admit that you're part of the problem. Always attack, attack, attack. And that explains why Trump is going up, up, up. He's the only one on the political stage that's saying one word about the dangers of Islam. You know, I am doing a Teddy book, my dog Teddy. It's coming out in May. It'll be totally different than anything I've ever published. Mainly pictures of this little guy and me feeding him this and that, bicycling, all sorts of happy stuff. But I've written it so that I hope it becomes a classic, not just a little, you know, Hallmark dog book. I try to put some duende in it, some soul, some me, some humanity. And in it, I mention in passing that a neighbor says you can judge a man by how he treats dogs. And I conclude the opening to that book with a little statement about how Muslims treat dogs. And he said, you're kidding. I didn't know that. I said, you didn't know that Islam and dogs are not cooperative or, shall I say, compatible? No, he said, I didn't know that. I said, you know that Muslims hate dogs? He said, come on. So I put together for you a little list of things about how Muslims treat dogs. You forgot the case back in Minneapolis in 97 to start with, when a Somali cab driver kicked a blind person out with a seeing eye dog screaming, no dog, no dog, get out, get out. Threw the blind woman out of the cab. And to this, the Council on American Islamic Relations, which many consider to be the Muslim mafia, according to a book that was put out, CAIR replied by pointing out that the saliva of dogs invalidates the ritual purity needed for prayer. Close quote. There are many other cases. I have them in my hand. How about how Muslims treat women? You think that they like women? You think they treat women as equals? First of all, they put them in medieval tents. What man would put his wife in a tent that covers every part of her body who respects women? They treat them worse than they do a camel. Now, when I say to you there's a clash of civilizations and that war is coming, you could say I'm crazy, but if you open your eyes, you realize the war is here. And only a lunatic, a psychotic who hates the country, would bring in millions of men of military age from Syria into this country at a time like this. This is the same insanity that you would see if it was 1939 after Hitler had invaded surrounding nations, and that if a president got up and said, in order to be nice to the growing German threat, we're going to bring in more Germans and learn how to live with them, because we need to get to know the good Germans. And you say to them, wait a minute, if you're bringing in millions of Germans, how do you know which ones of them are members of the Nazi party? We don't care. We'll vet them. How can you vet them when they have fake passports? Well, don't tell us about that. We need them to come in to vote for a Democrat. This is what's going on. In other words, this entire administration is committing treason and sedition, in plain English. But we're not living in sane times, are we? We're living in insane times where the doxies of the left, the religious doxies of liberalism, are trumping, sorry to use the word, sanity and reality. Sanity and reality are being trumped by the stupidity of the left. We have evil at our doorsteps, and we have an administration that is either blind to this evil or is collaborating with this evil. but it does not matter which of the above statements is factually correct. All we as a people know is that no one is protecting us from this evil. We know that. We know that by how? We know it by San Bernardino. We know it by the fact that those subhumans who conducted that massacre were admitted into this country because DHS failed us. And Obama, instead of firing the head of the Department of Homeland Security, let that loser go out on the warpath against anyone who criticized him. He mumbled his way through the media over the next 3 days, and then they put him back where he belongs, in a back room somewhere. He is put there to do nothing. We have the bravest men in the world, the bravest and most superior fighting force in the world, being led by sissies. We have police being led by sissies in America who know what to do to control the cities. We have an FBI that could break doors in and yank them out by their filthy noses. Bravest men and women you could imagine being controlled by sissies. The country has been sissified, to use an overly used and underly used word. But that's not the real reason that these brave men are being controlled. It's not the sissification factor. It is, in my opinion, an infiltration factor. When you see a slaughter like we saw, a massacre in San Bernardino, and the next day Muslim hate groups posing as protectors of the Muslim people go out there and start attacking America, saying you're basically responsible for what happened owing to your policies, we got to report Islamophobia. They know the game very well. They learned it from the ACLU. They learned it from Al Sharpton, in my opinion. They learned it from Jesse Jackson. They learned how to bully everyone into submission. And so the FBI is afraid of them. CIA is afraid of them. Military is afraid of them. Police are afraid of them. Where does this end unless we stand up to these bullies? Does it end like the Yazidi girls? Oh, that can't happen here. Why, are you kidding? That can't happen here. Don't be crazy, Savage. That's lunacy. That's paranoia. That's right-wing paranoia. It can't happen here. Really, and San Bernardino couldn't happen here either. And the Boston Marathon bombing by two Muslims couldn't happen here either, right? And 9/11 couldn't happen here, right? And all the other hundreds and hundreds of Muslim attacks that were thwarted by our government, so they say, couldn't have happened here either, right? But they are happening here. Why? For the exact reasons I just said to you. Because the brave men and women who are in these agencies, they could stop the next one to probably a 99th percentile of let us say, up to the 99th percentile. All they got to do is preemptively arrest the vermin who they're tracking before they kill us. They can't. Why can't they? Ah, civil rights. Ah, yes. The sacred cow of civil rights. I forgot about that. Well, let me remind you something about civil rights. Civil rights laws were written for a civil society. Without a civil society, you cannot have civil rights laws. They were written for another time. They're not written for a time of Muslim violence and Islamic terrorism. Without a civil society, you can have no rights at all because you'll be dead. What good are civil rights laws if you're not alive? So what are you saying, Savage? Suspend civil rights laws? No, I'm not Abraham Lincoln. I'm not a hero of Obama who suspended habeas corpus. Not at all. I'm not saying what Lincoln would do. Lincoln, the great hero of Obama, suspended habeas corpus. He arrested journalists. You didn't know that, did you? He arrested journalists. Check it out. It's actually in my book, Government Zero, based on facts, not on rhetoric. Lincoln was a dictator, a fascist dictator during the Civil War. Why am I telling you all of this? You figure it out. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America. I just don't want to talk about this threat right now. The girls screaming, the Yazidis and the little girls. Anyone who watches that, they're getting incensed. They want to know why Obama's not bombing ISIS. They want to know why Hillary's not mentioning the rape of these little girls. They want to know why the National Organization for Women is not mentioning the greatest travesty against women in our lifetime, ongoing on an industrial level rape of young girls. They want to know why the UN, filled with those useless idiots, is saying virtually nothing. They want to know. They don't know the answer yet. 21 years I've been on the radio giving you the answer as to why liberalism, the mental disorder, will kill all of us. It's killing us right in front of our eyes. Killing the culture for sure, right? Isn't that what's going on? Isn't that what you're screaming about? Isn't that why you feel lost? Isn't that what's freaking you out, that the culture is being decimated? A homicide is being committed against American culture? Obama has committed homicide against our borders and against our culture. But the economy for the very rich has never been better. How is that possible? That's the structural problem that we have. We keep hearing that the economy is bad for the people down below. But the people on the top have never done so well. I mean, Zuckerface is doing well. Gates is doing well. He's doing well enough to give away billions of dollars. Right? All of the big guys with billions of dollars have never done better. Well, triple Dutch, triple Irish taxation. You know, Apple's never done better. Google's never done better. Hey, if you got your company headquartered in Ireland, and you can keep 70% of your profits overseas and not pay your 39% fair share, or give Jerry Brown his 15%. What could be better? As long as you fund their campaigns, you can get away with virtually anything. That's called homicide, the homicide of reality, if you want to put it to you that way. So people are very upset because no one's representing them. No one's representing them. There's no politician other than Donald Trump who even comes near representing their fears and their concerns and their dreams, for that matter. And that's why he's soaring. And that's why Hillary is falling like a dead blimp. She's like, the old song, Led Zeppelin. She is a Led Zeppelin. It's very agitating times, I got to tell you. It's not a time to have a great time right now. It's like nothing's really changed and everything's changed, right? I mean, the sky is blue, the clouds are white. Am I the only one who feels this? Is something wrong with me? Should I see a therapist? Should I get medicated for the first time in my life? I mean, aren't things just coming up roses? Isn't Obama doing great for America? Is there something wrong with me? Yesterday we talked about Tourette, remember? That was a good show. I just slipped into it because it was a topic that had come up on TV and I was interested in it. I knew nothing about it. I thought that was a fascinating show. It helped me in a certain way with my own issues. I swear to God, it's not like I have Tourette. I know that. But who doesn't have issues in their life that they've dealt with their whole life? And when you get older, you want to hear something, a little secret for those of you younger? The things that you think were not that important when you were younger that you buried, they're going to come back when you're older. They don't go away. They come back. Did you know that? People don't understand this. Unresolved problems that you think you moved past or buried, they're never buried. They come back up to the surface as you get older and you have time to think about it. So you kind of got to resolve them. It is the Savage Nation, and I read a story about a small army that is fighting the Islamic State to protect their people, the Assyrian people. You say, well, who cares about that? I want you to listen to it very carefully, and I want you to understand how cynical and how useless Hillary Clinton is as a mouthpiece for women. She is a disgrace to women themselves. A disgrace to not talk about the rape and the murder of young girls in the Middle East by ISIS. And we have a speech from one of the survivors, who spoke before, of all places, the UN Security Council, of the ordeal that she endured while the Islamic State used her as a sex slave. She said rape was used to destroy women and girls and to guarantee that these women could never lead a normal life again. The terrorists raped Taha until she passed out. The sadistic vermin, the subhumans, the Untermenschen in ISIS, captured this little girl in August 2014 as they were raging across Iraq and Syria, and Obama fiddled while Syria burned. And they did things that I can't even read on this show to this girl. They separated the girls from their parents look, there's a video of it. Someone captured got a secret video out. I put it up on michaelsavage.com, and you hear these girls screaming as they're separated out from their mothers and fathers to be used as sex slaves by these vermin, these subhumans, who should be torn in pieces, by the way, when they're captured. But don't get me started on what's appropriate here. Please don't get me started on... You know, as I watched this video of the girls crying and screaming as they're being pulled away from their parents over the weekend, I got so enraged that I said, this is going on in the year 2015, while Mark Zuckerberg is worrying about how to make another $1 billion tomorrow, while Barry Obama is wondering how he can humiliate the Republicans tomorrow, while Hillary Clinton, the liar of liars, is Hillary Clinton the worst of them all, Not a word about the women being raped in the Middle East. She represents women. A cockroach would represent womanhood better than Hillary Clinton for ignoring this rape. In our time, kidnapping, rape, slavery. Some females are sold for weapons or for just $10 or 10 cigarettes, said activist Kadir Damleg, who interviewed numerous Yazidis. He showed me a letter and said this shows any captured woman will become Muslim if 10 ISIS fighters rape her. They're not at war. Nah, they're not at war with the West. They're not at war with everything decent on earth. The terrorist's 11 friends raped her as well. Well, who's fighting back? You? You liberal progressive vermin? You liberal progressive rats who care nothing about anybody but your own advancement? Robert De Niro, the great actor. Why do I bring him up? I think about him a lot. I think about how tough this man really is and how useless he is for the people of the world who are really suffering. I think of all of these false progressives in Hollywood who pretend to care about the downtrodden and say and do nothing about the kidnap, murder, and slavery going on right in front of their eyes in the Middle East. Nothing. Zero. Who's fighting them? Well, here's the thing. There's a small army fighting the Islamic State to protect their own people. And it started with only 12 men. And most of the men are older men, 50, 60, 70 years old. I could not believe it. There's a picture of them on michaelsavage.com that I dug up. Left side, go down onto the website. It's from a weird site, ocasomedia.net. I don't even know how I found it. A small army is fighting the Islamic State, standing tall to fight ISIS in Iraq and Syria. Tough soldiers deny ISIS full control of key strategic area, the Assyrian, the Neva plain. These forces defend Christians in Iraq and Syria, created when their wives sold their gold wedding rings and crosses to arm them. And if you look at the pictures of these men, they look like your father or your uncle. And these 12 men started the army. Truthfully, I hope that they're as real as they look. Now they went from 12 to 60. And thank God some of the warplanes that we have were, I don't know how, used to strike ISIS forces advancing on their last holdout. And then their 12-man team worked to extract the Syrian families from the battle zone. What I'm saying to you is this. Do you realize how lucky we are to still be living in an America where this is not going on, since we have such a subversive in the White House? I guess that's what I'm trying to say to you. Do you realize how bad this really could be if this subversive had not been controlled thus far? If him and David Axelrod really had their way, that snake? Whenever I see David Axelrod, I want to smash the television set with a sledgehammer. He's the worst of them all. Now he's Mr. Make-Believe, Mr. Normal American, a lifetime red-diaper doper baby rat who hates this country from the bottom of his toenails to the fungus-ridden nostrils. That's who they are. These progressives are suicidal maniacs, and they could have brought all of us down with them, but they're not through yet. They have another big year left before this is all over. He kicked me and he beat me. A few minutes later, another man came up to me. I was still looking at the floor. I saw that he was a little bit smaller. I begged him. I implored him to take me. I was incredibly scared of the first man who was so big. The man who took me asked me to change religion. I refused. Then he asked for my hand in marriage, so to speak. That night, he beat me. He asked me to take my clothes off. He put me in a room with the guards, and then they proceeded to commit their crime until I fainted. She was then raped by 12 men. 12 subhumans, who, as far as I'm concerned, should be captured by special forces and torn apart in pieces on public television for the world to see, and to send the message to the other brave vermin around the world who want to join ISIS, that when you're captured, we'll tear you apart in a public square and put it on pay-per-view. They took the young girls, 7, 9, and 10, explained the young girl to NBC News in early December. ISIS held her for almost a year before she escaped. The guards held the women and children at a school separate from the men. At night, these same guards raped the women. They said, if they rape you, you're becoming a Muslim. That's why we're allowed to rape you. And he showed me a letter. A letter with the flag of ISIS and a picture of ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. The terrorist's 11 friends raped her as well. You want me to talk about holiday music? I can't do it. I watched the tape on my website of the girls screaming as they're ripped apart from their mothers and fathers in the schoolyard. And then they took the mothers apart from the fathers and shot the fathers in the field. This is going on in our lifetime while this fraudulent imposter in the White House wages a phony war against ISIS. This goes on while that fraudulent, sour-mouthed creature, that harridan, that throwback harridan, Hillary Clinton, the worst of the worst of womanhood, the lowest of womanhood, the lowest who says nothing about rape and kidnapping, instead attacks Donald Trump. This is going on in our lifetime. Slave auctions. Slave auctions, and you're numb to it. We have to do something. We have to do something. And we're going to help the men who are fighting them, because they're the men who are fighting them from their own villages. It started with 12 men, 30, 40, 50, 60-year-old men. They'd rather stay home in bed and play with a dog. Oh, I guarantee they'd rather go holiday shopping today. Yeah, they'd rather be on a Southwest airliner flying somewhere in a beautiful America created by the founding fathers, because they knew that an imposter like Obama was liable to come along one day who would try to subvert the Constitution and steal all of our liberties if he could. They knew that one day a criminal gang, would appear in this country and try to steal everything for themselves. That means all the power. And they set up checks and balances to stop this future criminal gang from doing so. And thus far, they've kept this gang of jackals at bay to a certain extent. These jackals have only stolen the treasury. That's all they've done. They've raped it and pillaged the treasury the way ISIS rapes and pillages the Yazidi women. These corrupt, greedy Democrats from Feinstein, Boxer, Pelosi going east. There's no limit to how much money. There's no limit to how much money they want to control. No limit to it. Remember the sporting goods store in The Sopranos. And then think of your country. I want to go back to the fact that it's December. Most people's minds are not on politics. Our minds are on family, travel, friends, as they should be. And we really have to thank God that we have such a great country that can even survive Barack Obama. We have to have thanks to God that the creators of this nation, you call them the founding fathers if you wish, was so brilliant that they could anticipate a man as evil and as anti-American as him and prevent a further meltdown than has already occurred. And we the people are stuck in the middle of it all, whether it be the terror event by the two Muslims, what was it, 2 weeks ago in San Bernardino, the Boston Marathon bombing. Wherever we turn, we see radical Islam and its fangs here in America because of Barack Obama. I also blame the generals, the cowardly generals, who no matter how brave they have been on the battlefield, are cowards on the political field. All of these generals who know what he is, who know what he's doing, who know what his allegiances are, have nothing to say while they're working for him. And the minute they retire, suddenly they're brave and bold. And they step out like a talk radio host, and they tell us about 80% of what they really know. If they ever told you what they really knew, you wouldn't be able to accept it. If one of these generals ever came out and said, we saw him on a prayer rug, you wouldn't believe it. No, it wouldn't matter. After all, Islam is not the problem. Ask Hillary Clinton. Wouldn't matter if he isn't a Muslim. Would it matter if Brennan is a Muslim or anyone else in the executive office is a Muslim? Why would that matter? So what's going to happen in this final year? Bush watched the economy fall off a cliff in his final year. Of course, he drove it off a cliff. He didn't watch it fall off a cliff. He engineered it off a cliff. The bumbler watched it fall off a cliff. No, he didn't watch it fall off a cliff. I warned you in August or September of his last year, Bush that is, watch what he does in the last 6 months. I warned you, I called him a fiscal socialist. That's right, I, Mr. Right-Winger, called Bush a fiscal socialist. Who was right, me or you? Ronald Reagan, the great one, the man greater than everyone on earth, was ensnared in the Iran-Contra scandal. That ruined his final year. Bill Clinton impeached in his final year. Woodrow Wilson had a stroke in his final year. What's going to be Obama's final year? This man is such a maniac. He is such an egomaniac. and has never been subjected to any criticism ever in his life. Never has this man ever faced any criticism, ever. He's gotten away with everything his entire life. He has skated over everyone. So what might he do? A man who cannot be reined in by reality. A man who insists that he is winning the war against ISIS when ISIS is spreading its tentacles around the world. A man who insists that he knows what he's doing, even though he has sabotaged the economy for years to come. He's going on and on saying, I've never been more optimistic about a year ahead than I am right now, before dashing off to his 70 millionth vacation. Another vacation with the family. He's worked so hard, and he's spent $70 million since he's been in office on family vacations. So what might he do in his last year of absolute power? But I want to go back to my main point. We really are thankful, we should be thankful rather, than that the Founding Fathers were so bright that they could even envision a monster like him appearing and stealing the presidency and wrecking everything he could put his hands on because he has such an antipathy for the nation. And we've survived it so far, more or less, haven't we? What could it be if it was any worse? I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2600.
There is a legitimate criticism of what I've been doing and our administration's been doing in the sense that we haven't, on a regular basis, I think, described all the work that we've been doing for more than a year now to defeat ISIL.
Did you hear that double talk? In other words, he hasn't used enough propaganda. He hasn't gotten the stooges from NOR to disseminate his lying message. You know, if there ever is a time that we regain this country and regain this government, and there is a people's tribunal, people in the media should be called before this tribunal for having conducted this crime against the truth, crime against humanity. For while the rapes and the murders and the kidnappings go on, we're doing nothing about it, except, I guess, feeding the other side. And he says he has the best strategy to defeat ISIS. Why do you think he's giving such a speech before going off on another expensive vacation? Because he knows he's in trouble. He knows that all thinking people can look right through him. And it doesn't matter what their race is. It doesn't matter what their sexual orientation is. People are people. And most people are smart enough to look right through this man. And they know he's a danger to their survival. They feel it. They can sense it. They can attack the Republican candidates all they want. But there's one reason and one reason alone that Trump is thriving. The word is Muslim. That's the word. The M word. No matter what they say about him, he's the only one willing to take this head on. And I want to bring up this issue of Muslims again. In a time of war, when it is Muslims who are committing virtually all the acts of terror in this country, why would you bring in millions of unvetted Muslims, mainly of military age, not women and children, from Syria, when we know that they've stolen passports, they've boasted they're going to infiltrate Europe and America? What sane president would permit this to go on, other than an insane president to somewhere for the other side? But I made the point over and over again. But it gets even better. I'm sorry, it gets better. The madness continues. The megalomania, the psychopathic behavior, is evidenced over and over again. I try to warn you and stop the coming civil war, which I will mention again, not because it's going to put 10 cents in my pocket, but because it's going to put 2 cents worth of sense in someone's brain. He knows he has failed us. He knows that most thinking people distrust him to their core. Every survival instinct that every man with a brain that I know of thinks he is actually working for the enemy. I mean intelligent people, businessmen, retired businessmen, military, retired military, police, retired police. Every one of them who has a brain and a survival aptitude knows that this man is a threat to their existential existence. We're living in interesting times where each man literally has to save himself. We have no authority figures to believe in. We have no government to believe in. That's why I wrote Government Zero, and it's not an infomercial. Government Zero. No borders, no language, no culture. The book is on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and I made a commitment which I should repeat right now. All of the royalties that I make on that book, and I'll repeat it again, write it down, any and all royalties I make on that book will be given to my Savage Scholarship Fund for deserving college students going forward. That will be one of the things I leave as my legacy after my radio career.